This is Bible Truth for Living. Stand by for your hosts. Welcome to Bible Truth for Living. I'm Bo Couchman, your host for today's podcast, and joining me is Jeff McCreary. Welcome, Jeff.
Great to be here.
Today we want to take a look at a subject, and we've been with a couple of our recent ones, some more interesting perspectives on teaching from Scripture. The idea today of teaching without words, what we might term silent sermons. You know, Jeff, we can look at Scripture and see that God uses two general methods to give us instruction in Scripture. He tells us things and He shows us things.
That's right.
You know, one of the things I remember from elementary school, one of my favorite times of the week was show and tell, where you got to bring something to class and you got to get in front of the class for, you know, and this personal thing that we won't psychoanalyze me over that, but personal idea that you got to stand in front of the class and show them and tell them about something. The most fascinating part of that to me was when other kids would bring things and they would show. You know, they'd lose me if they just got up there and started talking. I wanted things to be shown. And one of the most effective ways that God instructs us in Scripture is by showing us things. The ideas of showing and telling, man discovered a long time ago, and this is a result of the fact that we're made like God, that the way we reason, these are the two primary methods we use to instruct. We tell and we show.
But sometimes the showing is more effective than the telling.
Absolutely. I was just about to say, in life we understand things better when we see them. Somebody can describe something to us, but often we'll say, you know what, I'm not getting it because our minds just aren't meeting together. But if we can look at something and we can see it together, it gives us a whole different perspective. So what are some things, some messages that we can teach without ever standing up in a pulpit or ever opening our mouth and teaching with words?
Well, one thing is that you say something by how you speak. Did you think about that? When a person speaks with a clean tongue in a world of filthy language, then you'll stand out in a good way. You're saying something about how you feel about taking God's name in vain when you don't do that, or about using dirty words, or about speaking in a derogatory manner all the time about other people, or even sometimes we do that with our friends, and it's just not necessary. We wouldn't say those things about our mother.
And I think this is a great point here, that the emphasis is not necessarily on the content of what you say, but how you say it.
That's right.
It is true in today's world, some places more than others, because there are cultural differences in various places that you go, where if you don't use what is sometimes called colorful language, people notice it. They notice that you don't use that kind of language more than that you do if it's a common thing. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul says in verse 29, beginning there, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." Talk that corrupts is not simply the content, but how it's said, the motive behind it, the unheard things. He says, "Only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." What strikes you about this is that Paul seems to be saying, what you say is important, but just as important, and sometimes more important, is how you say it, the tone of your voice, the content in terms of, when we say things to each other, we can hear in the voice.
That's right.
The motive that's behind it.
And there are two messages. There are the words that we say, that's one message. But that subliminal lesson, that message behind the message, may be in your attitude, in the even the grumbling of your voice, or if you're always unhappy or always complaining, people get a sense of this character or this quality in your character. And we need to be people who help and build up and strengthen and encourage others. That's a better sermon to preach, not necessarily with what the words you say.
It's long been established that when we say things, if our verbal and our nonverbal disagree, people believe the nonverbal.
That's right.
They won't believe what you say. They'll believe
our
the nonverbal.
Protest notwithstanding.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Another thing that I think is a great way to give a good message in your life without a lot of words is we say things by what we wear, what we choose to wear. Sloppy or loose dress says something without saying a single word. And we're not... When we talk about a reputation, we're not talking about what men think of you or me. In one sense, that's not important. But in another sense, it is. I may not care about what another person thinks of me until I want to persuade him to become a Christian or to help his life in some way. Then I begin to care about what he thinks of me.
Yeah, we want people to have a particular regard, particularly if we're trying to teach them the gospel or the truth, or if we're trying to advise in behavior. We want them to have a regard for that, or at least a worthy consideration, that they're not just going to dismiss our words, but that's connected to what they think about us, and what they think about us doesn't come primarily from the words that we speak, but by the way we behave, and in this case, by the way we present ourselves.
Perhaps. What we're talking about is your ability to lead souls to Christ, and how your actions, or maybe what you wear, might distract or cause others to think differently of us, maybe in less than a way of one who would carry the message of Jesus. In 1 Timothy 2, in verse 9, it says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women who claim to be godly." Now, this applies to men as well, but when you wear provocative dress that is intended to point people's attention to our outward man and to impress people in some way, we recognize that that's distracting men from the kind of conduct or the kind of impression that we should be making. In the same way, proper dress gives a strong message too. Just as provocative dress can distract, proper dress is something that people notice. People notice when things are out of order sooner or with greater focus, and it may take longer for people to notice, but over time we establish a deeper impression on others for good.
Proper dress signifies, because it's part of our behavior. It's just part of the component of our behavior. Proper dress, proper behavior, as we talked about, proper speech, these are kinds of things that signify the inner part, the meekness of the soul. Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart by what a person says. The same could be said how a person appears, the way that they behave, the way that they dress. And when we're talking about modesty, we're not simply talking about the way they dress. Modesty has to do with the way we behave.
That's right.
As well. We can behave in a very immodest way. These go to the heart, and that's the motive, and that's what the writers of the New Testament are getting at when they talk about this. What are you trying to do with this?
We also say something to others by the friends that we choose. Humans acclimate to our environment, and our associates create an environment. Sometimes if it's foreign to godliness, that's going to pull us away from righteousness.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a verse that immediately comes to mind, Jeff, verse 33 there, where Paul says that evil companions corrupt good morals. You know, sometimes you'll read a verse like that, and people will just kind of scoff at you. Well, you're being judgmental. I don't want to be judgmental about my friends. I don't want them to think that I think there's something wrong with them. I think we can use an example of an extreme situation to make the point here that this principle that Paul provides is a valid principle. We make judgments all the time about people's behavior. I choose not to associate with drug dealers. Why do I do that? Because I don't want to be involved in the activities they're involved in. I don't want to be around the product they're selling. I don't want it to influence my life because it's terribly destructive. I'm making a judgment about that behavior. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7 not to judge, lest we be judged. And his point there was, don't be hypocritical. He also said, judge righteous judgment,
that's right.
John chapter 7. So we need to be able to make sound judgments based on the testimony and measure of Scripture about the kinds of people we want to be around.
How about abusers of children? We would judge them.
Sure.
Everybody would judge them, and properly so. It would be terrible if we ignored that destructive behavior and allowed children to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. So we have to. Everybody does, and we should make judgments. But we need to be guided by God's Word. But our friends do affect us, is the point that we're making. And on the other hand, if you associate with people who have Christ in their hearts, then you're going to emulate their good example. Even without thinking about it, you're going to be influenced to be a better person. And we know that as well. Well, one last thing we would say is that you say things, you preach sermons by how you act. This is something that we all know. You preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. And everyone wants to enjoy life, but when fun dominates or restraint goes out the window, you're telling everyone that you don't give consideration to godliness or spirituality.
Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, Jeff, starting in verse 3, with regard to his emphasis here in this passages, he's emphasizing to the Ephesians their necessity of walking with love. When he gets to chapter 4 and he moves over into the idea of unity, one of the things he emphasizes is all of these things must be done out of love, that is, regard for my fellow man. But in chapter 5, he says, and I skipped backwards, I apologize for that. Chapter 5, he says, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The teaching is clear. We can hash words all day long, there's a lot of attempts to do this. Well, that Jesus was loving. He didn't really mean this. He didn't really mean that. Paul doesn't mince words here. He says this kind of behavior is not going to inherit the kingdom.
And notice these activities, filthiness or foolish talking or crude joking. Sometimes we can make a joke at other people's expense, mm-hmm. and we need not do that. Paul is saying, let's be people who help others and build others up. I'll tell you another thing that we need to do, and those are negatives that we need to take out of our lives, but something like going to church and worshiping God along with daily godliness. Now, you're a hypocrite if you go to church and you don't live that way Monday through Friday. But attendance at worship speaks volumes. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Your actions not only speak without words, they add credibility when you do speak. So we need to be thinking about the kind of people that we are and the messages we give even without speaking.
Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this commercial. Glad you joined us for this edition of Bible Truth for Living. Our podcasts are intended to encourage you to explore God's Word as the source of real truth, as that which tells us about the plan God has for us, both now in this life and in the future. We solicit your comments, your questions, and suggestions for future podcasts. go to our website, BibleTruthForLiving.com, and click on the Contact Us area to send us your comment and your questions. We'll do everything we can to provide a Bible answer for your questions, and we'll certainly consider addressing the issues that are of importance to you in future podcasts when you give us such suggestions. Now, let's get back to our show. We are back. We've been talking today about lessons that we teach without preaching, without speaking. And we've noted several ideas with regard to the things that we choose to do, our friends, how we act, how we dress, the nature of our speech. All of these things give impressions, Jeff.
In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." It's a wonderful blessing to wear the name of Christ.
We're glad you joined us for this episode of Bible Truth for Living. Appreciate Jeff being here for this. We hope that it's been edifying to you. If you have questions or subjects you'd like for us to talk about in future podcasts, you can go to our website where these podcasts are posted, BibleTruthForLiving.com, and send us a note through the contact menu. We'll be glad to talk about topics of interest to you, or answer questions that you might have about those things. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll be with us for the next episode of Bible Truth for Living. I'm Bo Kouchma for Jeff McCrary. Goodbye.